This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Dirty's Daily every day at 4 o'clock, baby. Dirty's Daily is powered by Mokarem Injury Lawyers, y'all. Big shout out to Mokarem Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. Big shout out to my Mokarem Injury Lawyer family over there for showing the love and supporting. We greatly appreciate y'all. And I'm telling you, if you've been injured in an accident,
Mokarem, we keep it 100.
Yeah, y'all do always. If you've been injured in an accident, sitting there right now, or if you are ever injured in an accident, make sure you call Mokarem Injury Lawyers. You will get a real person, not some automated answering service, baby. 281-222-2222. All right, boys, when I was out over the weekend here, the Texans signed another offensive lineman.
They did.
Interesting sign, and I'm sure you guys nailed it. Was it breaking news on this show?
It happened right before our show.
It was kind of like right at the toss within the loop.
So you had to ball up your rundown and just and work through it a couple times, right?
We had to work through it a little bit. Yeah, I just looked at that. This has to be depth. And then it's just immediately, yeah. It's depth and immediately, boy, they're really going hard in at tackle as opposed to the interior. And does this mean something for Titan?
Yeah, there's so many different talking points about this. Trent Brown, former New England Patriot, and, 10-year pro, 31 years old. He hadn't just been with New England. He's played with the
Raiders.
With a few different teams. Signed
49ers,
a couple of big deals.
Bengals.
There's obviously a history there with Cole Popovich, Nick Caley. Nick Caserio, there's a history there. So they know what they're bringing in the building. But Trent Brown being the position is the one that surprises me. The way the Texans are going about fixing their offensive line problems, fixing their pass protection problems, is an interesting path to me. I think they've made bigger splashes both in trading Laremy Tunsil as well as who they've signed and who they've brought into that offensive line room in the form of tackles, not guards. I think it's been splashier, higher ceiling guys, more pelts on the wall type of guys at the tackle position, which is interesting to me. But I got to thinking about this, and I've had more time because I went on air Friday with you guys, but this strikes me, Ron, as a reactionary move to what they experienced last year, which I guess everything is to a certain degree. But when you look at really how this thing went down last year, we know the pass protection sucked, right? Right. But if you look at it, the fact that there were so many guys that were so quickly thrust into situations where they were playing out of position, right? Titus Howard, once again, that's the elephant in the room because he was making so much money to be a right tackle, and he ends up playing guard again. right? Nick Broeker, a depth player that wasn't even in your two deep to start with, but he's an interior offensive lineman, ends up one play away, one injury away from having to play right tackle as the season moved along. They end up, because of injury, having to play second round pick
Blake Fisher,
right? Juice Scruggs, literally, now he got injured as well, but Juice Scruggs literally played all three interior positions, right? Jarrett Patterson at one time when Kenyon Green got hurt, had to go in and play guard, right? Before he ended up playing center and then getting hurt after that. So to me, this is the moves that they've made signify a couple of things. The Texans have made several moves on the offensive line, and I think they signify several things. Number one, I think they had to improve their depth. And there's no doubt about it. There is better depth across the board on the current Texans offensive line than at any point last year. Like, I don't think offensive line depth, like interior offensive linemen having to play guard and tackles having to play interior offensive line play, having to play tackles and the tackles having to play inside. Like, I don't think that's going to be a problem in a reactionary form. Titus Howard may end up being a guard, yeah, but I think it's going to be a plan. It's not going to be because somebody got hurt. So I think, number one, better overall offensive line depth, I think, has been achieved. Number two, I think there is a more physical mentality in this offensive line room. Like, it wouldn't have been hard, and it's not real hard to have done this, right? I mean, I think they were super soft, relatively speaking. But I think the physical mentality is closer to what D'Amico Ryans, a defensive-minded head coach, the Swarm head coach, actually wants. If you look at, like, what Ed Ingram brings to the table, struggled in pass protection, but is appears to be an absolute beast in a run game, right? You look at the Lakin Tomlinson kid, same thing. You look at Cam Robinson. There's some weaknesses there, but is a more physical. There's some dog in there. You look at Trent Brown again. There's some dog in there. It seems like there's guys that are going to be on a day to day basis. There's going to be a little bit more of a physical mentality, Ron. And then number three for me is I think there's an identity. It looks like there's an identity more so to this team, which is going to be a downhill run team instead of, hey, Trent Brown, we're going to toss this thing your direction. Can you get 360 pounds or whatever it is? Can you pull out there and stretch to the sideline? This appears to be a more between the tackle, attack downhill, hit them immediately instead of stringing things out sideline to sideline. So whether we're talking better O-line depth, the mentality, more physical mentality in the O-line room, or having a clear identity of, hey, we're going to run the football right at you when we do run it, I think they have accomplished some things with these O-line signs.
Yeah, I think they do want to get more physical. And that's why, to me, I just wonder, when you say to yourself, all right, I know we traded Laremy Tunsil, but since trading Laremy Tunsil, we've added Trent Brown, who you just spoke of, Cam Robinson, who, listen, of all the guys they brought in, he's coming in getting like a little over 12 guaranteed, up to 14 on a one-year deal. I'd imagine he is starting.
Yep, absolutely.
At left tackle. But you bring him in, and now that gives you four guys that I think for a lot of teams, or maybe not a lot, but many teams would be looked at as starters, not necessarily like Charlie Heck is a swing tackle, like straight up looked up at it as that. I think these are four guys in Fisher, Howard, Robinson, and Brown that could be looked at as guys that would be starter caliber, like more than just swing tackles. And with that, Clint, it just makes me have to wonder, well, you don't have four of those guys.
Yeah.
Does this mean, is this signaling to us that Titus Howard is not viewed as a tackle, but viewed as a guard? And that's the part for me that I look at this, you looked at this Trent Brown move, and maybe it's just depth, and maybe it'll be like Marcus Cannon, who they brought in and had some history with, but didn't ultimately, you know, remain with the team long term. Who knows? But that just sent me to the thought of, was this a signal to us and everybody that Titus Howard is in the fold as a guard?
Could be, but I hope not. Could be, but I hope not. I hope this is a play of we're going to have plenty of tackles. We're going to keep one on the shelf. We're going to make sure we've got tackles in our building that we can rely on, and we don't have to go out there midseason and move a guard that can't even play guard on this team to potentially tackle, or go out and hunt down Austin Deculus somewhere else and bring him back and have him start at tackle again. I hope this is a concerted effort to build that tackle depth, and we just haven't seen them address the interior offensive line the way that we hope to. There's still some time left. There's still some players out there that could potentially fill those voids. Assuming they're healthy, they could still make a Nick Caserio could make a late push here in free agency and the draft and really put some pieces together on the inside to go with all these tackles. I hope the plan isn't to move Titus down. I think he's a tackle. I think the Texans are better with Titus Howard at tackle as one of the starting tackles, but we'll see what happens. But any way you slice it, the Texans have made a lot of moves. Again, not the path that I would have taken to fix this offensive line. But if we just look at the moves the Texans have made, we're talking better O-line depth across the board. We're talking about a more physical mentality in the O-line room. And I think there's a clearer identity of what they want to be in the run game as well with this most recent signing of Trent Brown. Again, any of these signs could end up being, you know, guys that don't have anything left in the tank and we're just trying to make a push for one last contract. I hope not. I hope they do. But that's what I'm pulling from.
I can't believe Cam Robinson fits in that.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, 14, if this is a guy to go out there and get $12 to $14 million, I mean, this guy's still got tread on the tires. He can still play. I mean, he's got to be. At some point in time, you know, you hope they're pretty confident in a couple of these tackles that they're going to be here and they're going to play at a high level. They're not too old. They're not out of shape. They're not their best years aren't necessarily behind them. They still got something they can prove moving forward. But that's where I'm at, man. I think the depth is significantly better. Boys, I told y'all my sister-in-law got married this weekend.
That's right.
My future reality, I don't know if that's right, but I think you'll get my point. It hit me square in the face. Hit me square in the face. My two little girls were the flower girls, Ron. And I don't know if it's just being a dad or if I'm just like somewhat emotional now in my older age, which I've never been before. But I walk in and I see my littlest one in her little flower girl outfit, and I ain't gonna lie, I shed a couple tears.
I'm not.
Right there in the bride's changing quarters, man. Walked in there. Now, they were all dressed, Tyler. Tyler looked up smirking.
Oh.
They were all dressed.
I really wasn't thinking about anything nasty.
Man, my little girl.
Now we are.
My little girl, she's over there in that mirror, three-way mirror over there, man, with a little white deal on.
That's cute.
Yeah, man.
Now, where did your sister-in-law went? Where did she go to school?
A&M.
A&M.
Gig them.
Shit.
A lot of Aggies in that building.
A lot of friends, A&M in the quarters.
Old father-in-law was giving his little talk to everybody, and he had a little pause in his speech, so everybody give you a little whoop-whoop thing.
Did they do the war hymn at the reception?
No.
Really?
They went whoop.
Most Aggies, that's like a given.
Yeah.
I know you did it.
Yes, I did. And the last wedding I was at last week did it.
They did not. Not that I saw. I was dealing with a 1 and 3 year old.
You probably just
blacked out. At that time, their head
out.
Was spinning like Beetlejuice. The other thing, boys, my reality. Not my. I'm going from emotions to finances.
Those can be tied together. I was thinking the whole thing. You talk about the damn pony. I've been thinking as soon as we went for that ultrasound and I saw that it didn't have a penis. And oh my God, we're not renting tuxes. We're buying prom dresses. We're buying prom dresses multiples. We're buying wedding dresses. We're buying all of this. We're paying for weddings. Oh my God.
Hey, I don't even want to know what my father-in-law paid. This venue up in the hill country, the chandelier, it was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
You fathers of brides, man.
He's got two of them.
I feel for you.
Open bar, and I'm watching these kids. I'm watching all these sunbucks, these youngsters walking around double fisted. I'm like, hey guys, it's not gonna close, man. It's not gonna close. I mean, I'm just watching money. Money just flying. Like I got little emojis around me of just flying
just
money. Flying.
Just look at it. You looking at all this? How much all this?
I told my daughters,
man,
I can't
boy,
get
you
married.
Ain't lying, boy. Let me hold. I'm so thankful for these two rehearsal dinners I'm paying for.
Oh man,
let me hold rehearsal dinner.
Well, I'm lucky.
I mean, if we get there, yes.
I mean, Lowe's got a little. I don't know if Lowe just conveniently says this because we didn't have a choice, but like COVID was a blessing. Right, I mean, hell, we can only invite so many people. Like, there's only. I mean, it's just hell. We had a hard time finding anybody that would open their doors to even just take us, like to take the liability during COVID, right?
Yeah.
And so we were kind of handcuffed, and we got off a lot cheaper than you would think. At least I think we did. Boy, that damn venue last night, that looked like one of them deals. You got to drop a check, son,
went on a Sunday.
What? To open the doors, you got to drop a check. Much less when they started bringing them damn flowers in. DJ sets up.
Somebody texting in, start saving for them two weddings now, Clint.
Hey, man, I got savings accounts all over the place.
You got to get he's got to get a pony now.
Yeah, I got a horse. Luckily, I got a wife that works too. So she's helping. She's making some bread now.
And you think Liv's the only one who wants a pony?
Ooh. Oh man, we're gonna stick with those My Little Ponies right now.
Because that other one gonna want her own pony too.
Those plastic ones.
God, I'm over here thinking.
Laney go visit her. You think you just getting her a pony?
And we said three nights. We had three nights in an Airbnb, big enough, about 5-bedroom Airbnb. What do you think that hit for?
I do not envy you fellows who have daughters, because that's a thing, man. That's a big.
Boy. I'm telling you, let me hold the rehearsal dinner. I have you the greatest rehearsal dinner you can think of.
Yeah.
because I mean, you know it now, man. Shoot, mine is only 8, and I like when we get down to that point, like even for me, that's gonna be a hard one to. Nah, we ain't doing that. If I got it, that's going to be a hard to just say.
If you ain't got it, it ain't hard.
No, hell, if you like, hey, let's buy a horse to ride down the aisle. Nah, I ain't got that.
I'm just picturing Ron freaking haggling however many years down the road when it comes time for little Lauren to get hitched, haggling with the venue.
Let's get a deal.
Hey, y'all know I do radio.
I hold you all down. Cakes. All of them. Because I'm telling you, I watched mine just rise and rise. Just rise and rise. Just that, not even because anything that we were asking for. Just rising. Just
now, Lauren, rising. Do we really need the 6-tier cake, or can we get away with the 3-tier, you think? You think? Just cut them
speaking
tiers.
Speaking of cake, I did. Hey, boys,
that gets pricey.
With the exception of alcohol, I've been pretty good for we're going on 10, 11 months now. I mashed this cake.
Oh,
I don't know what the hell was in that cake, but I was feeding it to my little one, and there was one bite left. I was like, "Hell, let me go." I just went ahead.
You went and got
it. I was like, daddy. "God, what?" It had some kind of cinnamon flavor. Like it was vanilla, but it had some kind of cinnamon flavor too. I was like, "What the hell is that?" Yeah, I eased on over and got my own piece.
Sounds like a little snickerdoodle action or something.
That's exactly what it was. That's unbelievable. That's exactly what they told me it was. This guy knows his cake.
Knows his cake.
Great description right there, Clint. Cake teamwork.
There he is. That's why they didn't.